The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, yeah, Israel is going through this world inflationary period. And yesterday, petrol prices in Israel went up by 10%. So the current price of petrol in Israel is 7.70 shekels a litre, which amounts to almost 40 rand according to current exchange rate, which is, it's expensive even in Israel.
We shouldn't be complaining, even though we are, because it's here, it's over 24 rand, and that is one of the highest, it's probably the highest it's ever been.
Yeah, so really, really crazy. And just another one little snippet that I want to pop in, because I know we're going on to a long weekend now, so there'll be a few days where I won't have a chance to speak to you guys. But there is a very, very controversial plan in Jerusalem to construct a 40-floor high-rise building in the Kiryat Hayuvel neighborhood. And I just wondered what listeners think about the possibility of having this 40-floor high-rise building in Jerusalem. Let's just kind of set the scene, because for those of you who visited Jerusalem, you'll know that it's traditional for Jerusalem buildings to have this stone kind of exterior. And the Jerusalem municipality has been very specific about insisting upon this uniform look and feel about buildings in Jerusalem. Now we're talking about a 40-floor high-rise building in the Kiryat Hayuvel neighborhood, which will apparently house hotel rooms, commercial and office space, public amenities, even residential housing units. This has already been submitted to the Jerusalem municipality for approval, and the municipality has invited objections, of which I'm sure there will be one or two. But apparently this is not just a one-off event, but this is really part of a much greater to build high-rise in Jerusalem. Let's just remember that Israel in general and Jerusalem in particular has a problem with land. There is not much land to enable people to build outwards, and so inevitably we're going to need to build upwards, and this is just the first part of a plan in Jerusalem to do so. For those who've visited Tel Aviv recently and might not have been in Tel Aviv for some time, one of the most noticeable things about coming into Tel Aviv for the first time is how many new high-rise buildings have gone up in Tel Aviv. It's really establishing something of a skyline. I wouldn't say that it would rival the Manhattan skyline, but it's definitely heading in that direction. So just opening that up for some discussion, some debate, some comments.
Anthony, whereabout is that in Jerusalem?
So Kiryat Hayuvel, Kiryat Hayuvel is it's towards the central part of Jerusalem, really, one of the central neighborhoods of Jerusalem. And as I say, it's not going to be alone, because, you know, we already know, for example, that there was a very, very controversial Holy Land building constructed, which is sort of a little outside of the central part of Jerusalem, but very, very visible from wherever you are in Jerusalem. And I would say that even in Kiryat Hayuvel, if a 40-floor high-rise building was constructed there, it would pretty much be visible from most parts of Jerusalem. It is being labeled the kind of, in inverted commas, the Burj Khalifa building in Jerusalem, in order to kind of make it stand alongside that the world's highest building in Dubai. Of course, it's not going to be anything along those lines, nothing near as tall as that. But to me, it doesn't really matter where in Jerusalem you build it. I think it's going to be quite obvious, quite open. I mean, this is part of a massive, massive redevelopment of Jerusalem. That you would have seen how when you visited the Tachana Merkazit area, the general entrance area, which used to be once upon a time the entrance area, is now a new train station and a massive new development going on just alongside the Shuk area. It's incredible. Going to change. Yeah. It'll change the look and feel of Jerusalem quite substantially. Are we correct to oppose this development? Is it the right thing? Is this what we should do when you see what's happening in Tel Aviv? The city of Tel Aviv has really changed dramatically in its look and feel as a result of these high-rise buildings being constructed.
Yeah, I'd love your thoughts. A 40-story building in Jerusalem, and if that goes ahead, I would imagine one of many. What do you think on 34519 or 0618951019? 180 new immigrants arrived from Ethiopia yesterday. That was a part of a plan to bring 3,000 immigrants from Ethiopia over in the next coming months. Who are the people included in the new group of immigrants, Anthony?
Yeah, so this is very, very emotional. Operation Tzur Yisrael is continuing. Already 2,000 people have been brought to Israel from Ethiopia in as part of Operation Tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel. And the people who came yesterday and another 160 more will apparently land today are all first-degree relatives of people already living in Israel. So this is not just some sort of remote, unconnected aliyah. These are people who have first-degree relatives already living in Israel and are effectively being brought to join their families, to reunite their families with either parents or siblings or children living in Israel. So many fantastic stories about people who were on the plane and who've been reunited with first degree members of their families as they landed here yesterday. And, you know, there's so many emotional aspects to this particular journey. First of all, there was an amazing video clip which was put up, I think on Twitter, by the Jewish Federations of North America, showing the Ethiopians before they boarded the flight, singing Am Yisrael Chai alongside all of the officials who'd come to Addis Ababa in order to accompany and to help put together this particular flight. Let's not forget our minister herself, the Minister for Immigration, Pnina Tamanoshata, who herself was a child immigrant from Ethiopia. And she has really done a lot, really put in a lot of her own effort as a Minister of Immigration to bring these remaining Ethiopians who have been waiting, some of them many months, many years, to have the opportunity to come to Israel. She was on the flight yesterday, landing in Israel alongside Yaakov Chagoel, who is the head of the Jewish Agency, and many other organizations who have been involved. And this will be the first of many tough steps for these new immigrants, of course, all of whom have family members here, so that will make things a lot easier. But the path to integrate into Israeli society for these Ethiopian immigrants is not simple. We already know that. We've already had quite a lot of experience. And five new absorption centers have been opened across Israel to allow these Ethiopian immigrants to have somewhere to stay, for them to learn Hebrew. Many of them will have to undergo conversion to Judaism because in some cases their Jewishness is halachically under some suspicion, under some question, and so they will be undergoing also conversions to Judaism. But I think we need to just put all of this into context, because let's remember that the law of return says that anybody with one Jewish grandparent is entitled to claim citizenship in Israel, which means that even people who are halachically not considered Jewish will also have the right to claim citizenship in Israel. And the reason that the law of return was set up like that was because during the Shoah, the Nazis decided that if you had one Jewish grandparent, then that qualified you as a Jew in inverted commas, and therefore whatever the Nazis had decided about Jews at that time would apply equally to you, even though Jewish halakha may or may not recognize you as being Jewish. These people who are coming from Ethiopia, whether they are halakhically Jewish or not, have undergone a great deal of discrimination as Jews in Ethiopia. They've suffered a great deal. They've really undergone a lot of suffering during the time in Ethiopia, because there is so much anti-Semitism and so much discrimination that goes on against Jews in Ethiopia. that it is the biggest mitzvah to bring them to Israel, not only to rejoin members of their families, but to extricate them from what is a really, really tough situation. And I think it's absolutely correct that they should have the right to claim citizenship under the law of return in Israel, whether or not they can prove halachically that they are Jewish. So this is really an amazing moment for Israel, and of course for these immigrants. It was wonderful to see how they'd got so dressed up in their finest clothes.
Absolutely, incredible. It really is such an emotional thing, because when you think about the whole concept of kibbutz galiot, the gatherings of the exiles and people coming in, and you see people, you know, we had this naive and maybe stupid notion, and it's just because of the world that we had created for ourselves, that sort of Jews were from Europe. And then we see people coming from North Africa and the Middle East and down Ethiopia, and we just India, China, and we see this ingathering. It is just the most remarkable, heartwarming, indescribable, absolutely indescribable feeling.
I agree, and I get a great deal of pride when I see how Ethiopians who came from what is such a different cultural background have come to Israel, have learned, have speak Hebrew, go to school, go to the army, are ministers in our government, are fighting really, really hard in our culture to get what they think is right and deserved, and that, you know, is really a credit to our Minister of Aliyah, Pnina Tamanashata, who really, I mean, she was a child immigrant from Ethiopia. She has a lot of the cultural characteristics that is common with people who live in Ethiopia. They are quiet and not aggressive people at all. And then you throw them into this Middle Eastern mix, which is not exactly the opposite. It's very aggressive, and you really have to stand up to be counted. And she has succeeded not only in making her way to become a minister in the government, but in bringing what she thinks is right from her home in order to bring back these Ethiopians, to let them come home. So many of them have been stuck in no man's land waiting for this moment, and she really has made a massive difference, fought her cause, and I get a great deal of pride seeing how people like her, and there are many others as well, she's not the only one, there are many others as well, who've really succeeded in our rough and tumble world that they find themselves in when they get here.
And here's just one of those conflicts. The Jerusalem Gay Pride Parade will take place today under heavy security. And that is the Israel of conflict, of different views, of different thoughts, of people just, you know, within trying to express themselves as they can. One of the conflicts, and something that I think will hopefully always be there.
Well, I mean, the Gay Pride Parade in Jerusalem obviously is highly controversial. Jerusalem being a city which accommodates so many people coming from different walks of life, many of them from slightly extreme points of view in terms of religion and in terms of politics. Jerusalem is really that city which has the most extreme of everybody in Israel. And the Gay Pride Parade was not taken as given because of the massive opposition that exists within the city of Jerusalem to something like this. And unfortunately, in 2015, we saw that tragedy where a teenager who was a participant in the Gay Pride Parade was murdered at the parade by somebody who felt that this parade doesn't belong in the city of Jerusalem. So today, the police will be on high alert ahead of the Gay Pride Parade, which will begin at around 3 o'clock this afternoon. It will make its way around certain areas of the city of Jerusalem and will then end up in a party this evening. 2,500 police have been deployed in order to secure this parade, which is a sad statement in and of itself because of the massive risk that is associated with people who participate in the parade. There have been quite a number of threats already issued. People have been arrested ahead of this parade, people who have threatened those organizers and others who have been involved in putting the parade together, invoking Shira Bunky, who was that 16-year-old who was stabbed to death 7 years ago, saying that her fate awaits others who will be involved in today's parade. So that's really something which unfortunately characterizes the extremism that we see in the city of Jerusalem. And yet, nevertheless, the parade will go ahead today. The city of Jerusalem has sanctioned it. The people who are from that community are entitled to have their say just as much as people who reflect other communities in Jerusalem, whether they be religiously Orthodox or whether they be Muslim groups or whether they be Christian groups or whoever they are. Jerusalem has it all. And the municipality of Jerusalem and the government of Israel try to allow a platform for all of those people to express themselves, whether or not you agree with them. They have a certain freedom of speech and a right to exist in the city just the same as everybody else. And that's exactly what's happening today. Of course, the Tel Aviv Gay Pride Parade, which is the main event in Israel and also attracts so many participants from around the world, that is due to take place in another couple of weeks' time. So we are now into the season where the weather is good and it's nice to be out. And of course, celebrating things that people like to celebrate. So I personally don't have any problem with the Gay Pride Parade in Jerusalem, as long as everybody sticks to the law and doesn't try to impact on what other people like to do and feel. I don't think anybody has to impinge upon anybody else. You can have your freedom Absolutely. Of expression, go down the city, do what you want to do, have your party. I don't think that anybody would be negatively affected by that. So let's hope that today's parade will proceed smoothly and safely, and there won't be any incidents. We certainly can do without that as we roll into the long weekend. Shavuot, of course, being celebrated in Israel only on Sunday. I know that we won't be speaking until Tuesday because, Correct. Of course, Shavuot rolls for 2 days in South Africa. But we will be celebrating Shavuot here. And just the same as those participants of the Gay Pride Parade will walk around the city of Jerusalem this afternoon, so it will be on Saturday night and Sunday morning that many other people will be walking around the city of Jerusalem as we have the Tikkun Lel Shavuot and the gathering of Tfilot very, very early in the morning and the reading of the Megillot. That is a different type of expression for those people who wish to do that, and we hope that they will be able to do that as well in peace and security and the way that they traditionally like to do it.
Anthony Reich, thank you as always, and wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach, and of course we will catch you on a Tuesday morning. It is 8:01. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.